O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been involved with scouts, guides, brownies, any of those kinds of things? Anybody ever been involved in that? Thank you very much. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, how many, put your hands up if you liked it. Thank you. That's good. Awesome. Very, very awesome. I'm Alan Warren, and today's message is, really, God, you want me to love or be friends with who? You know, are you kidding me? And I also want to begin by thanking you for coming today. And a special thank you to all the guides and the Cubs. It's great that you're here for Baden-Powell Sunday. Today, you will learn of how some good things can come out of some pretty yucky things. And you will also hear two true stories of how people were able to overcome hate when something terrible happened to them. Now, can I tell you something about myself this morning? Thank you. I ask them that every week. If they want to get out early, they say no. I also was in Cub Scouts and Ventures, and I really, really liked it. I especially liked going on camps. Anybody here like going on camps? Do you like? Absolutely. Thank you. Now, when I was a cub, we had a cub camp. I forget the name of it. It was, what? Thank you. There's some people here who went to the same camp. It was near Wheatley Provincial Park, which is near Point Pelee. And one of the things I really liked about it, there was a valley there, big hill, and we always used to play capture the flag. Now, I don't know if you can do stuff like this anymore, but the best, you know what the best fun of that game was? Throwing people back down the hill. Okay? It was a riot. As you can tell, I'm small, so I got thrown down the hill fairly often. Now, when I was in Ventures, we went on a huge road trip from Windsor, Ontario, where I live, to Calgary to go out to the Stampede. It was absolutely awesome. One of our leaders had a brother living in Calgary, so that really helped to make that happen. Now, this morning, we give everybody a chance to talk to their neighbor a little bit. And I have a question for you this morning. So find one or two people around you. And the question is, I think it's an easy one for you. What do you really like about Cubs, Scouts, Guides, or brownies, whatever group you're in? What do you really like about it? And for you people out there, if you can't remember that far back, or if you weren't a part of those groups, think of a group you were a part of when you were younger. Tell someone around you what it was and what you liked about it. Can you do that? Tell people what you like about the group you're in. Okay, go. Very cool. Please stop. Thank you. I always know when I get a good question because it's hard to quieten people down again. Now, can you just say in a couple words what you liked? What do you like?
Making friends.
Thank you, making friends.
Sleepover,
thank you.
Camping.
Camping, thank you.
Everything.
Everything, awesome. Fundraisers for cancer, that is awesome. What was that?
Doing donations,
thank you. I have to go over here now, okay? Okay, what do you like?
Muffins.
I love that. Had we known, we might have made you some. Oh, okay. You can tell me later, okay? With coffee, okay? Anything else?
I was gonna say muffins.
Muffins. Oh, that's a kind of an in thing over here, the muffins, isn't it? I know. Okay, cool. Only two more. Selling Girl Guide cookies. You must know Andrea back there, because she always asked me to buy Girl Guide cookies. Okay, up the front.
Hanging out with my friends.
Hanging out with your friends. Awesome. If you have another idea, you can tell me afterwards, okay? That's awesome. Thank you for all those things. I really love the story of Joseph today. And in my email, I invited you to read the whole story of Joseph, going back to chapter 37 until the end of 45. And what I love about it is it mirrors sibling rivalry. Does anybody here have a brother or sister? Thank you. Okay, that's cool. Do you always get along with that brother or sister?
No!
Thank you. It's nice to know I'm normal, because I didn't either. Now, my next question is, did you think your mom or dad had a favorite? Yeah. Was it you? Oh, it is. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Does it kind of irk you that mom or dad has a favorite?
No.
Especially, oh, you must be the favorite then if you're saying no. Well, it kind of irked me because I wasn't the favorite. You know, and I thought my sister could get away with anything. And that really bugged me. Do you know what I find really funny about this? I talked to my sister about it years and years later. And you know what she said? She thought I was the favorite. I found that really, really interesting. Well, in the story of Joseph today, Joseph was his father's favorite. And Jacob bought him a coat of many colors. Now, did anybody, have you heard of or seen the play Joseph and the Coat of Many Colors? It's amazing. Thank you. You've obviously seen it, okay? Because I didn't quite get it right. Joseph had a dream, if you remember, where there was 11 sheaves of wheat, and they all did what to his sheaf of wheat? Remember? They all bowed down to his sheaf of wheat. Do you think he was very smart to tell his brothers that? I don't think he was very smart, you know. I think Joseph, you know, was kind of an egotistical pain in the butt. He was so full of himself that his brothers didn't like him very much. Now, John Sanford, a theologian and a Carl Jungian psychologist, says evil remains evil until man's consciousness grows because of it. Then God can use it for good. Think of that for a moment. Evil remains evil until our consciousness grows because of it. Then God can use it for good. This passage, when Joseph meets his brothers, he sort of says, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. Now, does anybody remember what Joseph's brothers did to him? Thank you. They sold him as a what? As a slave. Thank you very much. Before they sold them, do you remember what they threw him in? Threw him in a pit. Awesome. Thank you very much. Do you remember, like, and he served in some households and that, and then something terrible happened to him. Joseph ended up, do you remember where he ended up? Very close. Very close. Okay, that was Daniel. That's very close. Wasn't a tiger place, but it was like that tiger place. He ended up in jail. Okay, for quite a long time. Now, do you remember what happened after that? He got out of jail. He interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. And Pharaoh had a dream. And he couldn't get any sleep at night. And Joseph could interpret the dream. So then what happened to Joseph? Do you remember? Was he sent back to prison? No, thank you. He was promoted. And he was made the second in command of all of Egypt. Now, what happened to Joseph over those years as a slave, John Sanford called psychological growth. I would call it just plain growing up or maturing. From his pit of despair, Joseph grew wisdom. And his desire for revenge or to get even. Have you ever wanted to get even with somebody? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was replaced with compassion and understanding. In other words, Joseph began to see a little bit about what a pain in the butt he was when he was really young to his brothers. He began to see himself through his brother's eyes. And they say self-knowledge is the beginning of, thank you, wisdom. Or another phrase some people have said, try walking a mile in my shoes. Exactly. See what life is like from another person's point of view. At the end of the story with Joseph and his brothers represents one of the hardest problems in the Bible. You intended it for evil. God intended it for good. How do you reconcile the terrible things that happen in the world with the good and loving God? It's not a question I'm going to try and answer today or wrestle with today, but the surface is scratched in our passage from Luke. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Is that easy to do? No, it's not very easy to do. Does anybody here have someone they don't like? Does anybody know people that rubs them the wrong way? Yeah, exactly. Or maybe I should say not get along with. And that can be at school, at work. It can be in your brownie pack, in your guides. It can be in Cubs or Scouts, or even here at church. There might be people that rub you the wrong way. Now, when I was in Scouts growing up, there was someone that rubbed me the wrong way. And he was also in Ventures with me. And he was kind of a know-it-all. He knew everything. He was a bit of a crybaby. When you played dodge the ball, you know, he would burst into tears first when you hit him with the ball. And he loved to play tricks on people. Do you know anyone who loves to play tricks on people? You do? Okay, cool. You can understand. Now, if you played a trick on him, do you think he liked it very much? No. He reacted very, very poorly. So, as a result of that, you know, I didn't kind of like him very much. Now, the Message Bible by Eugene Peterson has some interesting twists to this hard passage. Love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. Whoa. Let your enemies bring out the best in you, not the worst. So a question I have for you this morning is, what actions can you do for a person that rubs you the wrong way at school, might even be your sister, brother, that reveals your best? Anybody? What can you do? Nothing. Did someone say that? What can you do to a person that rubs you the wrong way to reveal your best? Nothing. Okay, so you're not going to be mean to them. You're not going to hit them. You're not going to hurt them. Okay, that's a start. What else can you do? Kill them with kindness. Thank you. Anything else? Give them some Girl Guide. Don't even let them pay for them. Just give them some Girl Guide cookies. That's a great idea. Bring them a treat. Homemade muffins. Right? Homemade muffins. Bring them muffins. Invite them to maybe be on your team. You know? At work, get them a cup of coffee. Say hello to them in the morning rather than walk the other way. Now, there are some true stories in the world, amazing true stories. One of them is I Shall Not Hate by Dr. Izzeddin Aboulash. He is a Palestinian doctor and worked in the Gaza Strip all his life. And the fighting between Israel and Palestine has gone on for decades, centuries even. And in January of 2009, an Israeli mortar shell hit his home, killed three of his daughters and one cousin. It's a book about choosing a different path than hate, which is all too easy to fan into a flame. He says, I want to talk to people about trust, respect, and tolerance. I want to share what I know of Israelis and Palestinians and how much we are alike. They work together in the hospital. We all need to understand there's evil in people of every country, religion, and every culture. But there's also a silent camp of people in every country who believe like I do, that we can bring two communities together by listening to each other's point of view and concerns. It's that simple. I know it is. I've been doing it my whole life. And he goes on to say, I feel I cannot rely on the various spokespersons who claim to act on my behalf. Invariably, they have a hidden agenda that doesn't work for me. Instead, I talk to my patients, my neighbors, my colleagues, Jews and Arabs, and find out they feel as I do, that we're more similar than different, and we're all fed up with the violence. We need to reach each other by sending messages of tolerance rather than intolerance, of healing rather than hate. Think of that for a moment. This is a man whose three daughters and cousins were killed by people that that are on the other side. I like the advice. I have to talk to those people that rub me the wrong way or I disagree with. I have to talk with others in my class, on my street, in guides, in cubs, people who think like me, but also those who don't think like me. Those that I like and those that rub me the wrong way. I need to be friends with and talk to them and get to know them. Here is another verse from the Message Bible. It's a different translation. Here's a rule of thumb for behavior. Does anybody like rules? Well, actually, most people don't like rules, do they? Here's a rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Or I would say, think of how you want people to treat you. And then grab the initiative and you do it to them. Grab the initiative. Treat others the way you wanted to be treated. What a neat idea. Why would I do that, though? Wow. Can I tell you another story?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a cool story. Very hard story. Okay, very hard story. It's about Valerie. Her sister was killed by a drunk driver in a car accident in her early 20s. So very, very sad. She was devastated. Her sister was her best friend. And her life became full of rage and anger towards this person. And she became very withdrawn from her friends and the groups that she was a part of. All she could think about was getting even. One day she even drove her car and parked outside this person's house. It was near Christmas. And there was mom and dad with a young child seeming to have a great time. They were having a great time and our family was torn apart because we missed Shelley so much. All I wanted to do was to go in there, break the door down, pound on his chest, and say, "You murderer!" Her hatred, her wanting to get even and revenge was all she could think about. It consumed her life. And then by accident one day, because there was a trial for this person, she ran into him in the back room of the courthouse. No one else was there. He was looking out the window. And she had the nerve to go up to him and say, "You know what gets me the most? You don't even have the basic human dignity to say you were sorry for what you did." Words can be very powerful. As he turned to face her, he folded over like someone had hit him in the stomach. He tried to say, "But you don't know how sorry I am," and burst into uncontrollable sobbing and crying. She had an urge to go put an arm around him, but instead she started talking to him about her sister Shelley. All she meant to her, the things they liked to do together, and the things she liked to do. She never saw him again, but she found release and got her life back on track. Rather than focusing on anger and revenge and Shelley's death, she was able to focus on her life again. The things she and Shelley used to do together, the things that made her smile. You know what I found interesting about the story from Joseph today? If you read it again, you'll remember when the brothers started to talk to him again. Do you remember what he did? He started to cry. He started to weep. And he gave them a hug, and then his brothers were able to talk to him. Those tears move something deep in Shelley that allowed her to move on. Reconciliation, healing wounds that divide us, having respectful conversations with those that rub us the wrong way. Let me read another verse from the message that was from Luke today. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, or criticize their faults. Unless, of course, that's what you want people to do to you. Generosity, or being kind and loving, plants generosity. Kind and loving. The story of Joseph tells a complex tale of family relationships. And I think you know they're kind of interesting because you have a brother, sister you don't get along with, all those things. Homework for you is think of a time you felt complex feelings in an encounter with another person you knew. How did you manage to work through your feelings in order to offer mercy and be reconciled and to be kind with them? As you do so, know God is with you. For as Paul says, God can work together for good in all things. Thanks be to God. Amen. And thanks for listening. I always say that.